If you came here this morning looking for a Christmas sermon, you're not going to get one. In fact, tell you the truth, I don't even have one of those in my repertoire anywhere. One time I did preach on why we don't observe Christmas. But if you're not certain as to why we don't observe Christmas, then you can ask me and I'll be glad to sit down and discuss it with you. Christmas comes from a pagan religion and has been basically... Well, you know the story there. All right. Every now and then, preachers have to preach on something that's not very pleasant. And they know it's not very pleasant because people are going to be uncomfortable about what they have to say. And today's subject is one that I think is one that falls in this category, where you're probably not going to appreciate very much what I have to say. Because, believe it or not, God wants you to suffer. Now, we have passages of Scripture that says He wants us to be blessed, He wants us to be comforted, and He tells us to take comfort in a lot of things. But also, He expects us to suffer. We're going to talk about that. We're going to explain it as we go through this. The good news about it, as we think about it, is that suffering is only temporary. All right, what is suffering? It is to undergo, to be subject to, or endure pain, distress, injury, loss, or anything unpleasant. And who of us has not done that? We all have, and some of us have done it recently, and some remember when it happened to us. And so this comes from the dictionary, and everybody understands that. And we do that. So suffering is universal and worldwide. We know it is. We see the pictures all the time. Some commercial comes on, and they show some poor, destitute people suffering, say, "We need you to help." And yes, that usually does net them lots of money because they're playing upon people's emotions. And we have to have emotions in order to survive. And it's good that we look down upon the plight of others and consider them. Because you remember when Paul met with the elders and the apostles in Jerusalem, and they commissioned him to go and preach to the Gentiles, the one command they gave him or asked him, please remember the poor, those who are destitute. And so it is a universal problem that we have. Now the question is, are you suffering? Well, you need to be. And it's a good reason for it. We'll explain that. We all suffer day by day. If we are not currently suffering, we're going to get there. Now, how many of us suffer from aches and pains from getting older? Okay, that's a lot of us in this room. You young ones, it's on the way. If you live that long, it's on the way. You're going to be suffering day by day. I never really understood when my grandmother said she lived in pain. I didn't understand that till I grew older. And I understand that very much. And so we do suffer physically day by day. But a lot of us also suffer mentally, because there's a lot of things that bother us. See, Jesus never promised that the life of a Christian is going to be easy. And we know that. But yet, the reward is going to be great. We know that. It's comforting to know that we are serving God in His ways, but we are still suffering. And this is where some people kind of lose heart, is because here I am, I'm trying to serve God to the best of my ability, and I still got problems. You know that song we just sang, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Have you trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? I mean, that fits so well into this, because Jesus is our friend, and He knew we would be going through this, and He expects us to go through this. See, Jesus warned that we will suffer, you know, so we must be strong in our faith and our resolve. That's what we're what it's supposed to do for us, is make us stronger. And we must learn to be strong in the Lord, in the strength of His might. We must learn to be strong in His Word. And I can say that about a few people here. They are strong in the Word. But there's some who hardly ever open up their Bible. And that's obvious because they don't know that much of it. And you should. You need to. Because as Jesus said in John chapter 12, these are the words of life. These are the words that come from God. Chapter 12, verse 49 and 50 of John. And so we need to know that. And we also are asked to be courageous and faithful. As we read in the Old Testament, people were told to be that way. The angel of the Lord spoke to Joshua and said, "Take courage, be faithful and strong and courageous." And we need to be courageous as well. Because what are we dealing with? What are we up against? We're against Satan and his forces. We're against the things of this world. And we need to have courage, because this world is going to take every opportunity to attack us and make us feel shamed because we demonstrate our faith. 2 Timothy 3:12, Paul says, "Everyone who desires to live godly will suffer persecution." If you haven't suffered persecution because of your faith, then all we can figure out is you're not living godly. Now, that might hurt. That might hurt your feelings. But wait a minute, I go to church all the time. There's one thing to go to church. 1 hour out of the week. The rest of the week, we're commanded to live godly. And if we do live godly, we're going to suffer persecution. People are going to make fun of us. They're going to laugh at us. They're going to make jokes at our expense. They're going to do all that stuff. We just have to know why. And Jesus explains why. Now, we know suffering is conditional. And there's different types of suffering. What one person can handle, another person can't. Some person has a hangnail. Well, I'll just get over it, put a Band-Aid on it, and go to church. Next person, hangnail. Oh, I can't go to church. I'm in so much pain. That probably describes some people here. I see the smiles out there, so it probably describes some people here. Looking for any excuse to get out of going to church. But as we said in class this morning, it's a privilege to come here and be with the saints of God. But suffering is conditional. Now, there's negative types of suffering happens when people find themselves on the wrong side of the law, whether God's or man's law. Yeah, there's going to be negative consequences for doing things. Even the children should learn at an early age they do something wrong. There's consequences. That's what's one of the problems of our society today, is people have put up the belt and, oh no, let's not be that way. There's no consequences to their actions. And where does that lead them? Worse and worse actions. All right. But sometimes people suffer because someone is taking something from them. And whatever it might be, if you have a car and someone steals it, well, yeah, there's suffering going on. Hopefully you have insurance and you can get it replaced. And things like that. But there's some things that cannot be replaced. What if someone murders your spouse? And they've taken them away from you. Yes, suffering is going to take place when that happens. We lose our loved ones to death and things like that. But sometimes we suffer because someone hurt them. I mean, we got Squally sitting here. He's had 3 concussions this year. And whoa, somebody hurt him. Now, he kind of asked for it, but he put himself in that position. But let's face it, all the time, we sometimes suffer because someone hurts us, whether it's with their words or they come up and punch us in the nose. It's still going to be painful either way. So perhaps they suffer losing their freedom if they are caught and sent to prison. That's what the criminals, I've lost my freedom. And they're sent to prison. And they, woe is me. 1 Peter 4:15 shows that this suffering is condemned by God. In verse 15, it reads, "By no means let any of you suffer as a murderer or thief or evildoer or a troublesome meddler." We're not supposed to do that. See, positive suffering. All right, talking about positive suffering. See, only Christians suffer positive suffering. In other words, our suffering is for our good. And we learn that. 1 Peter 4, 12 through 16 says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice in the exalting. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because of the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. By no means let any of you suffer as a murderer or thief or evildoer or troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not feel ashamed, but in that name let him glorify God." I mean, this tells us right here, that is a command that we should be doing. And we must anticipate suffering for Christ's sake, because he said it would happen. In this we should rejoice if that happens, because Jesus will turn that suffering into eternal joy. And we know that. Matthew 5, 10 through 11. As we run over there, says, "Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Those are the words of Jesus. We need to consider that. See, positive suffering will bless us, because God will see our plight and he will respond. See, in Acts 5 and verse 41, remember, after the Sanhedrin told the apostles, "Do not preach in this man's name," they did it anyway, and they were beaten. Then they were released. What does it say about Peter and John? And as they were leaving after being beaten, they felt proud that they were able to suffer for the name of Christ. It was a sense of honor for them. Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33. "Everyone therefore who shall confess me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever shall deny me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven." Remember that if you're ashamed of Christ, he will be ashamed of you. Jumping over to Mark chapter 8 and verse 38. "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." Now, if I asked you to raise your hand if you're ashamed of Christ, probably nobody in this room would do that. But in your workplace, when someone does something that's blatantly sinful, do you tell them what the Bible says, or do you just zip it up? See, a lot of times we don't want to, because we know what happens. If we do that, if we speak up, we know what's going to happen. All of a sudden, they're going to be accusing us of being holier than thou. What right do you have to judge me and all that stuff? Yeah, we know that's going to happen. But if we remain silent when we should be speaking, when people diss the name of God, when they take his name in vain, it ought to it ought to really just irk us so much. You remember what it's like when you're in the classroom at school and someone took their fingernails and scratched it across the chalkboard? You remember how it just kind of, ugh. See, when people use God's name in vain, we should have the same reaction. But it's done so much that basically we've been desensitized to it. And we hear it all the time. And we've been conditioned, oh, well, that's just the way they are. But you know, if you say, hey, please don't use the Lord's name in that way around me. Oh, you know, they're going to get on you. They're going to be doing it every chance they get. So to prevent that from happening, you just don't say anything. Christ is not going to be pleased with you. He tells us right here, if you're ashamed of me and my word, I will be ashamed of you. But why do we suffer? Well, there's reasons. Over in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, he gives us some insight here. He says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Suffering is for our good. Now, we don't like to think of it that way. We don't like suffering. We hate this subject. We wish the preacher wouldn't talk about this subject. But you know what? It is for our good. For our testing ourselves. To see if we're in that faith. 1 Peter 1, verses 6 through 9. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. That's where it's all going to lead us. When we do suffer, and if we stand strong, it'll lead to the salvation of our souls. In James 1 and verse 12, blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So this is a demonstration of our love to God. Putting up with this garbage and surviving this garbage. Over in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. Says, and not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You see that? We put through these trials. We're put through these trials for a reason. And if we endure, if we hang in there and remain faithful, we have the hope of salvation. Over in Acts 14 and verse 22. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. So that's what we need to do with each other, is to encourage each other. And if I have anything to say about it, I'm going to encourage you. Don't worry about the persecution that's going to come your way when you let your light shine. Remember, that persecution is just going to last for a little while. But if you remain silent, there's a good chance you won't even make it to heaven. And if you don't make it to heaven, there's only one other place you're going to go. Another painful subject that we sometimes have to discuss. The reason all these trials and temptations come our way is because Satan wants you to give up serving God. Your life would be so much easier if you didn't have to put up with the insults. You think your life would be so much easier if you didn't have to suffer through the persecution. But like I said, it's only going to last for a little while. Suffering is temporal. There will be no suffering in heaven. We know that. Now, on the contrary, in hell there will be constant suffering forever. But the suffering won't last long in this life, as long as we live. And Romans 8, verses 17 and 18. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. That's what Paul said. Yeah, suffering is going to be for a little while, but this is nothing compared to what is coming that we have to look forward to. Jumping over to verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We put God first and live for him. Nothing can separate us from them. 2 Corinthians 4. Beginning verse 16. I'll get there in just a minute. Says, therefore, we do not lose heart, but though the outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I like that verse 17. For the momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. There's nothing we can even imagine that comes close how great heaven is going to be, because God will be there. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12. For this reason, I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. We sing a song along that line. I know whom I believed, and he's going to take care of me. He's going to take care of my soul. Now, what should we do if we are suffering? Rejoice if it is for the right reason. All right. You pray for deliverance if God so desires. That's what we should do if we are suffering. You know, James 5:13. If any... Well, let's see. Let's get out. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. Yeah, so we pray for deliverance if we're suffering. But like I said, we need to be suffering for the right reason. We need to seek assistance from the church, is what James 5 is talking about. And you might realize you're not the only person going through your ordeal. A lot of times we think, well, I'm the only one. You know, it's like when we were teenagers, we broke up with our girlfriend or our boyfriend for the first time. Nobody knows how I feel. So dramatic. Drama queens and stuff like that. You remember that? You did it. Don't tell me you didn't do it. You did it. Oh, nobody knows what I'm going through. Then you get up older and you realize, man, everybody's been through this. See, Psalm 34:19 is a passage we should know by memory. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God sees to them all. We're constantly persecuted in our day and age, and we're not even asking for it. You know, we get attacked by people from the LGBTQ, RST, WXYZ. Oh, I'm going too far there. But it's eventually going to get there, folks. They're going to use the whole alphabet one way or the other. But we're constantly being attacked by them, telling them we have to accept them. The problem is, if we accept any sin, our next generation is going to embrace that sin. We cannot take that chance. If we care about our children's souls, if we care about the souls of those who we work with and live with, we're going to have to stand firm with the truth. Where there are righteous people, there's going to be suffering. Yes, the wicked, the evil, they suffer as well. I mean, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. It happens that way. There's wickedness taking place. There's corruption in this world. Our country sends billions of dollars to these third world countries. And guess what? The leaders live in luxury and the people are still hungry. They're still dying of starvation after all these billions of dollars. Yeah, they're still going to be suffering because someone is wickedly doing something. But the suffering, if we have to face it, will test our resolve towards serving God. Are we going to stand firm? Are we going to be resolute in our stand towards God? I will not deny my God. I will not be ashamed of God. I will not be ashamed of the gospel, as Paul said in Romans 1. Revelation 2:10, it says, be patient, friends. Some of you are about to be thrown into prison. And literally, they were. A lot of them were thrown into prison and they were killed in prison. But here's what the angel said to the church there, but be thou faithful until death and you'll receive the crown of life. That's what it takes. Faithfulness to God. And if you haven't started being faithful to God, you don't know when your time is up. We don't know that. Just pick up the newspaper or look at your news feed and read about all these people who started their day thinking they were going to do this or do that, died in a car wreck, or just sitting there by the ocean side yesterday, taking in the sun, then all of a sudden a tsunami comes and kills hundreds of people. We don't know when our time is going to be up. We're not guaranteed anything at all. We think, well, I'll do it next week. Or like Scarlett O'Hara in Gone with the Wind, I'll do it tomorrow. Because after all, tomorrow is another day. Has tomorrow ever gotten here? It'll never get here. So make up your mind. Today's the day of salvation. And like I say, if you take nothing else from this lesson, just remember that the suffering is only for a short time. As Paul said, momentary light affliction. You remember what he went through? the shipwrecks, the beatings, the floggings, being left for dead several times. I mean, persecuted because of his stand for the truth, because of preaching the truth, and put him in prison because of his stand for the truth. But he said it's only temporary because there's something far better that I'm aspiring to, I'm working towards. And that's where all of us need to be. We need to take this unpleasantness of this subject and put it to good use and start serving the Lord as we should. If you're not serving the Lord yet, you need to, because you don't know when your time is going to be up. You don't know. You can't say that, well, I'll do it tomorrow, because tomorrow is not promised. What do you need to do? I think everybody here knows. After hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ and recognizing Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross for your sins, you need to believe that. And then you need to repent of your sins. Stop the sin in your life. Start living for Him instead of living for yourself or for others. Start living for Jesus. Confess His name, that you believe He's the Son of God, and continue confessing that name every day the rest of your life. Let the world know, Jesus Christ is my Lord, and I serve Him. Then be baptized for the remission of your sins. Because as long as you have sin in your life, you can't be anywhere near God. He will not take you. It's the blood of Jesus that we contact in baptism that washes away our sins. And then, the encouragement to live faithful and endure all the trials that we have. And we need to learn to appreciate the trials that we do have. If you're subject to the gospel invitation, we give this encouraging word to come to the Lord and invite you to come. All together, we stand and sing.